Okay, we are on Yud Aleph Amud Beis 11b. It's about two-thirds of the way down the page by the two dots. Okay. We're going to talk about now some Birchas Kohanim and see how that relates to the Kriya Shema. If those who learned Maseches Tamid may remember a little bit of this. Maseches Tamid discusses the avoda of the Korban Tamid, especially in the morning. So discusses steps that went on early in the morning before the Kohanim had to get up very early, and they had to do their davening. And their davening was a little bit different, abridged version, because they were so busy of what their davening is. We'll go through the main points of the davening, and we'll see what it relates to the brachos before the Shema. That's been the topic we had, that we say the two brachos before the Shema. The question is going to be, ultimately, the two brachos before they say the Shema, are they dependent one upon the other? In other words, is it possible to say one without the other, or if you say one without the other, to get credit for saying the one without the other? That's going to be the ultimate upshot of why we're bringing this whole Mishnah. It's not awesome. We learned over there in a Mishnah in Tamid, Amar Lama Mamuna, the Mamuna, that's the Skan Kohen Gadol, that's the deputy who was speaking to all the other Kohanim who were there, and he is guiding them through what their davening for that morning is. There's a number of Kohanim. Some went to see if they're going to win the lottery, if they could do certain avodas. Others just watched or did other things. Anyway, so the appointee, that was the assistant Kohen Gadol, would say to them and instruct them in the following. They'd say, Baruch Hu Bracha Achas. Make one blessing before the Shema, which the Gemara will tell us shortly what is that one bracha. Ready, see, they're not making two brachas. There's two brachas before the Shema that are normally said, and he's telling to make one bracha. Vehem barchu, and they would say that one bracha. What would they say afterwards? Fascinating. Vekaru aseres hadibros. Then they read the Ten Commandments. Okay. You'll see in a minute, why were they reading Ten Commandments? And then they're going to read the next three paragraphs of Shema, V'hoya, Im Shema, and Vayomer. So they read the Ten Commandments, and then they read the Shema. Now, obviously, the Shema is the foundation of our religion, and so are the Ten Commandments. And we'll see there'll be a discussion later on. You're going to see the Gemara is going to say that the rabbis, when they instituted the prayers, they seriously considered putting the Ten Commandments in the davening. But they didn't, for a reason that we will see. But anyway, in the temple, they did that. So they read the first bracha before one bracha before the Shema. They said the Ten Commandments. They read the three chapters of the Shema. And then what came next? Uberchu esa'am shalosh brachas. They would receive. They would say a blessing, not the Birchas Kohanim. That's not what it's talking about here. They would recite the following three brachas with the people, as we'll see shortly. These three brachas are Emes v'yatziv. That is the bracha after the Shema, right after Shema. Emes v'yatziv, all the way to the end. So they say one bracha after the Shema. Then va'avoda, then the blessing of the avoda. That's ritzei. That's the 17th bracha of the Shema of the Shemoneh Esrei, right before the modim prayer that we normally say. Okay, and uberchas kohanim, and then they would say the berchas kohanim. That was the extent of their davening. Let's see the commentary over here. So he's talking about the second bracha is ritzei. Because it tells Hashem should accept our avoda. So we're about to do the avoda of the Korban Tamid. So the Ritzei prayer is very relevant. So it comes out, they see the Kohanim did not have time to say the entire Shemoneh Esrei. Still in all, they would say this blessing right after the first avoda of the day. Oh, okay. So, and they would read that bracha of Ritzei Hashem Elkeinu, blah, 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 blah. Okay.
Why didn't they have time?
that it was a lot to do. There was a lot of work to do in the basement. They had, because the Talmid had to be brought right at the beginning of the morning, so they didn't have time for long davening. But then you couldn't do everything early. You can't daven. So you see ourselves. What if right now we had ready to bring a korban Talmid, all of us? We wouldn't have the liberty to daven for an hour and 20 minutes. There's so much had to be done, and you can't do it early. It's not like, okay, we'll start at 4 o'clock. No, because the whole Talmid is at sunrise, and it's got to get done before the sunrise. So that's why they didn't have a lot of time. And then also the three brachos of the Birchas Kohanim, etc. Okay, so there's a whole issues over here, all kinds of questions, but I'm not going to go into it. It's not relevant, the side issues. But that's what they davened. Ube Shabbos, and Shabbos, Mosifim Bracha. I say they had one more Bracha, L'mishmar Yotzei, for the next group that would come in. Remember, the Kohanim were divided up into 24 groups. Every group had a full week, twice a year, that they worked at a Beis HaMikdash, and there was changing the guard on Shabbos. So now there was a special bracha they made for the changing of the guard for that group that comes there. That's the Mishnah in Talmid. It's all not necessary for us, all the details of that entire process. We're only interested in one part, the very first part. It says they made one bracha. The Mishnah did not say which one bracha before the Shema that they said. So Gemara now asks, my bracha agas. What is the one bracha? Which one of the two brachas did they say? Now remember, there's two brachas. There's Yotzer Or, he created the light, the bracha of day and night, and all the miraculous things in nature. And number two is Avarabba, the great love that Hashem gave us the Torah and all these things. So which bracha did they make? And that's relevant to our discussion. More answers, Kiha, this explained in the course of the following story. The Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yossi, Bar Abba, Iklolahu Asher. These two rabbis came to a certain place. Bo Minayu. They themselves asked the question in the Mishnah. My bracha achas. What is the one bracha that the Kohanim said before the Avoda? And the answer was, Lahoyavida. They didn't have an answer to that question. The two rabbis are sitting there. Did you hear what's the bracha? I don't know. I didn't hear it from my Rebbe. So then, va'asu shailu l'Rav Masna. Then they went and asked Rav Masna the question. And lahavirei, he didn't have the answer. So asu shailu l'Rav Yehuda. They went to Rav Yehuda. He had the answer. Amelahu, he said to them, hachi amar Shmuel. This is what Shmuel said. The bracha is ava rava. The bracha is that second bracha. Hello, wake up, ava rava, with an abundant love. So he's saying that's what Shmuel says. It's the bracha of Avarabba. Now, however, that was that story. Gemara brings another opinion. No, the bracha is Yotzer Or. Well, obviously, if you have two possibilities, we're going to have both people giving two different answers. Okay, so machlokes, which was the bracha? Fine. Now, Kiyos, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef. So now, when Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef came from Bobel to Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he says, and we just quoted Rav Zreika. Rav Zreika said the name of Rebbe. So he's saying, Hod Rav Zreika, that ruling that Rav Zreika said, Lav Beferish Itmar. It was not stated explicitly by Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Remember, it said, Rav Zreika said, in the name of Rav Ami, in the name of Rav Shimon ben Lakish. And he says you should know that Rav Shimon Lakish never really said it explicitly. Ela miklola imer, but we derived it from an inference from another one of Rav Shimon ben Lakish's statements. So that's where Rav Zreika assumed that's what Rav Shimon Lakish meant. But he didn't say it explicitly. So what was the statement that we're saying? The Amar Rav Zreika, Amar Rav Ami, Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Rav Zreika said the name of Rav Ami, said the name of Rav Lakish. Regarding the Mishnah that we just said, just the Mishnah of Talmid, where you see they only made one bracha, and he said, this is what he actually said. He said, well, what do you see from this Mishnah? How many brachas before Shema did the Kohanim make? One. Zos Omeris, this teaches us, since they only made one out of the two brachas, that brachos ein ma'akfas zu es zu. these brachas, one does not hold back the other. In other words, that you can read one without the other. Now, that means to say, if one recites one of the brachas, but does not recite the others, he's nonetheless fulfilled his obligation regarding the one blessing that he recited. The blessing left unsaid does not undermine its validity. Okay, that's what he said. So now, what did they deduce from his statement? So let's figure out over here which one of the brachas he said that would say that one does not hold back from the other. Okay, so he said like this. This is the deduction. So Iyamr Pishlemus, that makes a lot of sense. If it was Yotzer or Hava Amri, if you say that the bracha they said was Yotzer or the first of the two brachas, I know that's what he means. The brachas ein ma'akvas zu asu. That's what it means when Reish Lakish, we can deduce that he says that the blessings one are not essentially necessary for the other one, right? Delo ka Amri Avarabba, because he didn't say Avarabba. Like, why didn't you say Avarabba? You could have said Avarabba. You didn't say Avarabba. And I guess you're okay. So therefore, it makes sense. And this is where we're going to get this deduction of that. So you can say, oh, it doesn't hold back the other. Aha. Uh-huh. However, if you're going to say the other way, it's not going to make sense. El-E-Amr. But if you're going to say that the one bracha they made, Avarabba, Avarabba, the brother bracha they made was Avarabba, we don't have a proof that the one bracha is not dependent on the other. Why? Because he's going to say, my, how could we deduce or say a rule if the only bracha he made was Avarabba? How can we deduce from that that ein bracha, ein makvasu asu, each bracha does not hold back the other one? Maybe there's a reason why, and really he still may say it. Dilma ay delamer yotzer or, maybe the reason they didn't say yotzer or was for a very simple reason. Mishum delomatas man yotzer or, it's too early to say yotzer or. How, you know, you can't say yotzer or at 4 o'clock in the morning, can you? Can you say Avarabba at 4 o'clock in the morning? Can you say God loves us and gave us the Torah? That doesn't seem to be so convenient time, but you can say, well, God created the light. God created the light, it's got to be lit, right? So therefore, the brachas discussed by this mission was straight soon after the slaughter of the morning Tamid offered, which was performed immediately after dawn, before the arrival of light. The Korban Tamid was brought right after dawn. So this is not contradicted to the fact that they were saying the Shema at this time, for though the morning Shema is ideally not recited until the arrival of light, but the Kohanim would recite it early. As it says in Yoma, one who recites the Shema with the men of the watch has not fulfilled his obligation since the men of the watch recited early. Of course, according to this opinion, the opinion that Kohanim recited, who forms the light, they were treating this blessing as they treat the Shema. They perform certain things before the ideal moment. But you're saying, I understand why you're not going to say Yotzer or, because it's too early. But v'chimatas man Yotzer, but when it came a little bit later, however they would say it later. So the fact they said one bracha doesn't mean they weren't going to say the other bracha. It's just they didn't say the first bracha because it was too early. But then they would say it later. So accordingly, Rav Shimon Lakish would be unable to prove from this Mishnah that one blessing can be recited without the others, since this Mishnah discusses a case in which the time for the missing blessing has not yet arrived. Right? So that's why it's a deduction. Since Rav Shimon Lakish does not bring such proof from the Mishnah, he clearly holds the blessing the Kohanim recited was who forms the light. We see that Rav Zreika quoted Rav Shimon Lakish in regard to which blessing Kohanim would recite. He was actually stating an inference drawn from another of Shimon's statements. So that's the inference to that. To which the Gemara, so he didn't really say that the bracha was Ava, it was Yotzer, or, but he deduced, if you want to tell me a rule that one does not depend on the other, that it must have been Yotzer, or. Why didn't you say Ava Rabba? But if it was Ava Rabba that he said, well, how do you know one doesn't, depends on the other? It could very well be that he'll say it later. So therefore, it's not exact, although you quoted him, but it's not exactly the case. Now the Gemara asks, so what do you care? V'imi klolamai. So what does it matter if it's deduction? So what's the matter if I deduce it or he said it explicitly? right? So we deduced it. So if I deduced it, it squared up. In other words, the first rabbi said it clearly. The second one said it in Rav Yehoshua ben Levi's name. He said, well, listen, he didn't really say that it's Av Rabbah. We can only deduce because he said, you see from here, one bracha doesn't depend on the other. So it must be that he said Yotzer Or. That's the bracha that was said, because otherwise, you know, we couldn't deduce this rule. So then the Gemara says, okay, it's a deduction. And what's so bad if it's a deduction? Obviously, deduction, maybe you deduced incorrectly. If it's a deduction, then maybe it could still be Liolam Avaraba. It could be he said Avaraba. And yes, and when the time came later in the day to see it, he said it. But if he's doing that, what do you mean one isn't dependent on the other? Because you don't know what he meant. What does it mean one bracha doesn't depend on the other? It doesn't mean saying them at all. Rather, it means Seder HaBracha. The order of the brachas doesn't matter. Could be they very well said Avaraba first, and then later when the light came up, said Yetzor. And when he said that, the brachas don't hold back the other, means the order of the brachas. Because therefore it's not a clear proof that that's what Reb Zeka said. What was the bracha that they said? So therefore it's not a proof. So we're not exactly sure what he meant. Okay, that is the part that relates to our Masechta, where we're talking about these two brachas of Yotzor today, and that is the Psak Halacha. The Psak Halacha is, you got to say both brachas, but if you said the wrong order, b'di'evit it's good. And that's how we pass it. Now, we come back to this, saying the Aseres Hadibros. This is fascinating. So we go back to what it says in the Mishnah, v'kar Aseres Hadibros, and they read the Ten Commandments before the Shema. Then came Shema, Vayom Shema Vayomer, the next three parts of the Shema, Emes V'yatzer, Vod V'chazom, they're just re-quoting the Mishnah. So now the Gemara says something fascinating. Am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So it comes out, in the Beis HaMikdash, all those Kohanim, they said the Shema, the Ten Commandments before the Shema. So Gemara says, Af Begivulim Bikshu Luker, said, even outside of the temple, they wanted to institute that into the prayers. They wanted everyone in every shul should say the Ten Commandments before the Shema. Which makes sense. If you're saying Shema, which is the foundation of our faith to God, well, so are the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments is shorter in words, I believe, than the Shema. So you might, you know, we set a lot of pages anyway, so let's just throw in the Ten Commandments. They wanted to do it. Okay, however, Ella Shekvar Butlum, but they soon abolished them. In other words, they started it, they tried it, but they stopped it right away. Why? Mipnei Tarumos Hamini, because of the arguments of the heretics. What are the arguments of the heretics? As we'll see, it means idol worshippers. Amongst the Jews, the sages feared that the heretics would attempt to convince the unlettered people that the Torah is false, or bring us proof of the fact that we recite only the Ten Commandments along with the Shema and no other part of the Torah. Because they say, you know how come they only read these parts of the Torah? Right? The reason for this, the heretics argue, is that all the Ten Commandments are heard by the nation directly from God at Sinai. In other words, only they are true. Okay, why is that the only part they're reading? So must be, it's the only thing that's really true. And all the other 603 mitzvahs, and it just made it up, and everything else is made up. That's why they only say the 10. So therefore, because of the ignorant people who could be misled by these wicked people, the difference is, you know what? You're going to lose more than you're going to gain. Tanya Nami Hachi, we have a brisa that supports this idea. Rav Nosson says, "Begivulam bikshu likros kain." Outside of the temple, they wanted to read the Aseres Hadibros before the Shema. As far as but they nullified it because of the criticisms that the heretics would make, and the unlearned people would learn from that. Okay, and then we see this is what happened in many places. So this is outside, I guess, of Eretz Yisrael, and now we have other stories even beyond. Rabba Bar Chana, someone from Surah. Rabba Bar Chana wanted to institute it in Surah, which was a big city in Bavel. And Amar Le Rav Chis, or Chis said, no, don't bother. Kvar Batla Meitei Torah Zmeim. In Israel, they stopped doing it because of the heretics, so we're going to do the same thing. Amemar Savolik Vimbar Nahardai. Amemar wanted to institute in another city in Bavel called Naharda. And Amale Rav Asher, Rashi told him, Kvar Batlo Mipnei Tarumas Aminim. They already stopped doing it because the heretics would have criticisms. So you see, they tried many times in many areas. They felt it was a significant thing to say, but they did not say it because they were afraid that would lead to bigger problems than what they would benefit from it.
We can say it after the tefillah.
What?
We can say it after the tefillah.
You could say it a private tefillah, but they didn't put that. Okay, what else did that Mishnah in Tumi tells us? That they added one bracha on Shabbos. Uvishabbos mosifim bracha lemishmar hayotze, and on Shabbos they added one bracha for the new group that came in. My bracha achas. What was the one bracha? Amar Rab Chelba. Rab Chelba says, Mishmar Hayotze, the group that was going out, that was the end of their week. Omer the Mishmar Nichnos, they would say to the group that would come in, the following bracha. Mi Sheshiche Neshmo B'Beis Hazeh, the one who has caused his name to dwell in this house, meaning Hashem, who Yashkin Beinechem Avo V'Yachvo V'Shom Reyos, he should cause to dwell amongst you love, brotherhood, peace, and friendship. Now, why do you think you need this bracha?
Because they call him a competitive.
Very competitive. Remember, why? First of all, that's the nature of Kohanim. Number two is that they only worked 1 week twice a year. This is their chance to serve, right? And there's a lot of Kohanim, there's only so many jobs. So not everyone's going to get a job or necessarily a significant job. You know, there's slaughtering the Korban Tumi. That's a pretty chashuv thing. Bringing a Ketores is a pretty chashuv thing. Those are very significant things, and they're a bit competitive. In another Gemara, the Talmud states that originally they said the one who runs up the ramp first gets it. And then what happened? One guy killed another guy. So then they had to do a lottery system. Yes, one guy got up there, the other guy, and then he stabbed.
Broken arm or leg.
Whatever.
That was
good competition, but can go awry. So therefore, they have to have peace and love and friendship.
Are these 24 groups, families of Kohanim, like tribes, or like
yeah. So where do you have the biggest fighting if not in families?
Yeah. Oh my lord!
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Wait till it comes to inheritance, okay? Things like that. You know, many families have terrible, terrible. You know, there was one Adam Gadol, one real Adam Gadol, big, big rabbi. Okay, he didn't have that much money anyway, but he said he got rid of all his assets before he died, and he said the dafka, so my children shouldn't fight over it.
Wow.
He just he just said it's all wise. Just got rid of it and that's it, and nothing to fight about. Okay, now we move on to the next part of the Mishnah. We'll just start into the next sugya. We said Mokom Sha'amru Laharich. The Mishnah said where the rabbi said to say a lengthy blessing, you shouldn't say a short blessing. Where they said it should be a longer blessing, where you end with Baruch Ata Hashem, it's together you start, you shouldn't ignore that. That was what the Mishnah said. So, the Gemara now is going to talk about a fascinating idea. What if you're thinking you're eating a certain food, you're thinking of making a certain bracha, but it turns out not to be that food and you should have made a different bracha, whatever. In other words, there's a problem of what we were thinking about, but then you end the bracha correctly. So, there's a whole bunch of scenarios over here. Gemara says, Pshita, the first case they say, so Gemara first says, Pshita. The Gemara says, is going to talk about where one began a bracha with an erroneous intent, but concluded it with the proper intent. So they say the following case is obvious. The guy has a cup of wine in his hand. Be a day. But he thinks it's beer. So if he thinks it's beer, what bracha is he thinking to make? Shehakol. And not Bari Priyagam, because he thinks it's beer. But it really is wine. This is very relevant for tomorrow, maybe, right? Upasach, and he begins, Umavarech Adai Tereshikra. He's saying, okay, I'm going to make a bracha. So he's saying, Baruch Ata Hashem. And at that, really, you should know, when you're saying the beginning of bracha, you already have to know what the end is going to be when you're starting it off.
Right.
Now, you just don't take a random food and go, Baruch Hashem, Kama Chalam.
Yeah.
Borei Pri Adama. No, you got to know before you start the bracha, when you say Hashem's name, that you're saying Hashem's name to thank him for this specific thing. Okay, so this guy, he did. He thought it was beer. Yeah. When he's saying the words Baruch Atah Hashem, he thinks he's going to make a shahat kol. All right? Okay, so he started to make, when he said Hashem's name, he was thinking he's going to say shahat kol. And then, for some reason, he realizes in the middle, uh-oh, he looks inside the cup. Hey, this is not beer. V'siyim b'dechamra. And he ends with the proper bracha borei pri agafen.
He's the only one who's going to know.
Doesn't matter. Him and Hashem know. He's got to be honest with himself. It's not a religion of enforcement. It's a religion that you want to do the right thing. So what's halacha? Did he fulfill or not? Well, let's see. When he said Hashem's name, he had the wrong intention. But he ultimately said the right thing on the right thing. So that's obvious that yatsa. He's discharged his obligation. Why? To think about this. Wait a minute. He had the wrong intention when he said God's name. But why would it still be okay?
Because he changed his intention. Mid-intention.
Well, but maybe you have to have the right intention in the beginning.
Shahakol includes it.
Very good. Because what bracha did he want to make? Shahakol. Yeah. What happens if you make a shahakol on wine? Bidiyeved. It's not the best, but you're yotzei. So that's why they're saying it's pshita. It's obvious that he thought it was beer and he thought to make a shahakol. Even if he did make a shahakol, it would have been a good bracha. He would not make another bracha again. So now that he chopped himself in the middle and said Borei Pri Hagafen, so although it wasn't the best in the beginning, but it wasn't wrong in the beginning. So he had not the best start, a good ending. So for sure it's okay, because even had he only made a shahakol, it would be okay.
Makes sense.
Why? Because even if he would have said shakol, yotza, he would have fulfilled his obligation. For we learned in the Mishnah later on, al kulam imamer shakol niyera bidvarov. If any of them, you were wrong, you said shakol niyera, yotza, you fulfilled your obligation because it's an all inclusive bracha. So that's not my shail over here. Yeah, comment? You wanted to ask something?
I was going
to
say it doesn't work the other way, though.
Wow, we're going to see now.
And also, but it does work if you say, come on, you had an apple.
Right. We're going to have all these things. So this one was not a shiloh, because either way, we're covered. Here's the question, and we'll leave you hanging over Purim. Ella, but the reverse. Hey, kodakonaki kasa show. You got a glass of beer in your hand, which requires a shakol. Because over the chamru, he thinks it's wine. And then he says, Baruch Atah Hashem, he's thinking to say Borei Pri Hagafen, which is not an acceptable bracha on beer. Pasach, Uberech Adai Terechamra, he started with the intention of making bracha on wine, V'siyam B'deshikra, and now he ended off making the proper bracha, Shakol on the beer. So now is the question, what's going to be the law? Basar Iker Bracha, do we go after the main part of the bracha, which is saying Hashem's name? That's the main part of the bracha. And he had the wrong intention, even though the end is just a detail, but maybe that's the main part. Oh, Basar Chasimas, or do we go with what he actually says? Do we go with what was in your mind in the beginning, or what do we do with what actually said? And we'll leave it hanging until after we drink some beer and drink some wine. So don't make the mistake over Purim, because you don't have the answer yet.